This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Well, I have the answer for Peter, by the way. The second act after Gail, and she also came out to sing a song with Taylor Swift, was Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, Phoebe Bridgers did an act as well. God, okay.
She was very good.
Oh, got it. No, but when
you don't like Phoebe?
No, no, I don't know Phoebe Bridgers' music. I've heard good things about her, but I was referring to Ice Spice just came out to do one song with Taylor Swift.
Maybe it wasn't the night I was there.
But yeah, maybe she only did two of the three nights, so I can't be sure.
Well, we started the show in disarray, but we straightened things out because that's who we are. That's what we be.
Professionals.
We're on the air.
That's right.
Back and better than ever.
That's right.
All right, so the Yankees won last night. It's a big night for the Mets. Because they have played exactly 500 ball all year. So a third of the season's gone. They're 27-27, and you only have to times it by three. If you play 500 ball, you'd be 81-81. Now, I'm going to give Met fans something to hang their hat on before they go up against the Phillies tonight. Look at the Nationals. Look at the Braves the last 2 years. And it can be done. It has been done. It will be done. The Phillies were in worse shape than the Mets. They fired their manager. They ended up in the World Series. All you have to do is get into the tournament. And I think the Mets are going to play better than they played. And you can say, well, why do you think that? Because I don't think they're this bad.
No.
It's not that different a team than the one that won 101 games last year. It's just not that different. So I think that they will find their level, maybe win 94 games. That'll get them into the tournament. Then they got a chance because you've got three pretty good pitchers at the top of your order. If in fact they're good. In fact, they could straighten themselves out. I think their offense is going to get better, guys. I really do.
Well, and their offense is already better than it was. And I think it's the least of their problems, quite honestly. And there's things that they can change offensively because they have offensive prospects. They don't have pitchers. They don't have a bullpen, Michael. You can't win in the postseason without a bullpen.
Well, you could get back Diaz by the end of the year.
You could.
I'm telling you, I have a feeling he will be back.
I get that, and that's what a lot of Met fans are saying, is that now you can slot your relievers. You can have Diaz for the last three outs. Robertson can be your eighth inning guy. Ottavito's probably better suited to be your seventh inning guy. That's all great. But unfortunately, Michael, they don't get any length out of their starting pitching. Now, I understand Senga's getting used to a new league and a new country and a new ball and all that. But in his transition, which might take all year, I don't know, he doesn't give you a lot of length. He gives you five innings, which means now I need a sixth inning guy. And they don't have a sixth inning guy. And without Diaz coming back until later in the season, Michael, how are they piecing, 9 to 12 outs every night? How are they doing that? They're not doing it now. Like, all those comebacks they had with the five-game winning streak. Michael, if those happened on the road, they'd probably lose. Because the reason they had kept coming back is because the bullpen kept giving it up.
Right.
So that's the problem is that I agree with you. There's a long season, and Atlanta did it, and Washington did it, and Philadelphia did it. But that bullpen's a problem, and Epler's going to have to go out and make a move to really help out until Diaz comes back. And when Diaz comes back after not pitching for basically a year, how effective is he going to be coming right out of the box, if indeed he does come back to be able to help out this team late in the season and in the playoffs? So I'm legitimately concerned because this bullpen is just not good enough. It's just not. So I think there's going to have to be a move. I don't know how you get relief pitchers, Michael. Everybody needs relief pitching. So I don't know how that changes, but I think they can finish above 500. But you built a team, Michael, that's got too many holes in the bullpen. Even if Diaz was here, there's still issues with this bullpen overall. And they never spent the money that they were going to spend on Correa. Now, was with all the bullpen guys already gone? Did it happen too late in the game for them to be able to spend that money? Because I thought with Cohen, money wasn't going to be an issue. So with all the money they gave Diaz and all the money that you have on Lindor's contract and how much money you paid Scherzer and Verlander, it's not supposed to matter. So why don't they have a better bullpen?
Yeah, but I think I'm not diminishing what you're saying, But it would be better with Diaz because everybody else would move down a slot. I think they'd have enough to cover it. I really do.
Well, and really the only guy that I feel really confident in coming out of that bullpen is Robertson. Ottavino's not great. I mean, I think, you know, you could say he'd be slotted in a different spot. He's still not really getting the job done.
Who's that?
Ottavino. He's not been – he hasn't been
well,
great.
Well, Ottavino would be better in the seventh inning. I mean, he should pitch the seventh. David Robertson would pitch the eighth. Edwin Diaz would pitch the ninth. There you've covered nine outs, and I think they have enough out there to cover any six-inning outs if your starters really go short. And, you know, one thing that's gone under the radar, guys, you know, Daniel Vogelbach, that has not gone under the radar how bad he's been. But the Mets traded Colin Holderman for him. Take a look at Colin Holderman's numbers. They could use him in the bullpen. So far, it's been a bad, bad year for Billy Epler. Because not only is Vogelbach awful, but the guy he traded for him is really dealing. That would be another arm in the bullpen.
It's been bad.
And he continued. He finally played Vientos, but again, he was still playing. He was still playing him, Vogelbach, way too many times. If it's a righty, he's going to play him. And I just don't get the matchup. He's just not good enough anymore. Are you trying to justify the trade?
By the way, Vientos
is finally getting some at bats, Michael. But up until the weekend, he had 13 at bats. Come on, give me a break. Why is he here?
I think you are trying to justify that trade. I mean, you gave up a pitcher that's really dealing right now, and they keep leaning on the fact, well, you know, he's got good on base percentage. That's not good enough.
Well, not for
a
guy.
He can't do anything
else.
He can't field. He can't run. On base percentage doesn't do it for me. He's got to do damage. Now, I have a you guys know how I love Buck Showalter, right?
Yes.
Got a little issue.
Oh, I like it.
So, Peter Alonso was on Foul Territory. There's a number of podcasts that some, you know, I think a lot of players do. I think Todd Frazier does it. AJ Pruszynski does it. They have guests. So one of them was Pete Alonso, and they talked about, Pete's cursing fit to Steve Gelbs, and that, you know, Buck pulled him aside and said it wouldn't happen again. And Pete goes, he didn't do that. He didn't scold me. If anybody thinks he scolded me, that didn't happen. He goes, and I went back to Buck and asked about it. And Buck said, they misrepresented what I said.
Oh, no.
Now, how could we misrepresent what he said when we just played what he said? We didn't even opine on it. He said, I spoke to him and it's not going to happen again. How did we misrepresent that?
Let me just backtrack.
Oh, boy.
Because I did hear it again today. Because that's the audio Greeny played when he said Michael K and company.
Why would he say that?
So it's hurtful.
I actually look at it as a compliment because he could have just said the K show, but he wanted to include us, but it was too clunky to just throw everybody's name out. Then it becomes a roll call, which good radio you don't want to have, as you know.
I hate roll call.
I don't know if he ever said I'll talk to him. He did say it won't happen again, but I don't know if he said I'll talk to him. He just said
he said
happen.
He did speak to him.
Can we hear back?
We have it.
Of course it did. So did his mother. You know, hey, I learned my lesson a long time ago. My mother could read lips. And, boy, that Sunday drive home after a day game when I would always call her and put the phone on speaker and let her go, she would tell me. And I always felt horrible. And, it's not a good idea and something that, I don't think you'll see happen again. I hope not.
See? Now, if he said it another time in the interview.
I think he said it another time that he did speak with him.
But I thought, all I remember him saying, guys, is that it won't happen again, meaning he's not a bad kid. It's not something he normally does. I don't remember him saying he'd reprimand him or talk to him about it. I could be wrong. He definitely didn't say it in that cut. So
right. What did Buck say to Pete Alonso that we misrepresented?
No, but did he even talk to Pete? He just said it wouldn't happen again. He didn't say he talked to him.
Well, I mean, really, are we playing games?
No,
why would it not
happen?
It sounds like it.
Pete Alonso for years has been saying LFGM. So this time he just articulated what the F stands for.
And this has
always been going on. Yeah. And now all of a sudden Buck says it's not going to happen again? Well, somebody had to talk to him if it's not going to happen again because it's happened before.
But it's never to that level. Like, he's always thrown the F in the hashtag That's different. I'm not going to get crazy
over
that.
Okay, so if no one spoke to him, why would it stop?
Because it's only happened once.
But why wouldn't it happen again?
Because he's trying to say to you, he's a good kid, it happened, it won't happen again. Not that he was going to reprimand, not being tough guy saying, it won't happen again because I'm going to talk to him, make sure it doesn't happen again. I think he was just predicting that it won't happen again. I think I know for a fact,
all right, that he spoke with him. Now, we never said he scolded him. So Pete Alonso even admitted they spoke. He says, not like Buck scolded me. Right. And then Buck told Pete they misrepresented it. How did we misrepresent it? If he already spoke with him.
Well,
if he spoke to him before he came on the air with us, right? How did we misrepresent it? We never knew it happened until he spoke to him.
No, we had no idea. He said it. He brought it up to us. We had no intention of bringing it up to him. He brought it up himself. So he wanted to get it out there in a way in which it looked like, you know, he didn't really want it to be out there, but he wanted to get it out there. Now, I think, is it just the semantics of talk to and scold? Is it just the semantics
of that? I guess
so.
But we never said he scolded him.
No.
Well, why would he scold his star, his best player? He probably had a talk with him.
But no one scolds anymore.
If you scold somebody in this day and age of sports, you lose the player. Because the player has more power than you.
So where did scold come
scold
up?
Him.
Was that just a question on the podcast?
He brought up, I don't know exactly what was said, but it was intimated, well, Buck spoke with you and it's not going to happen again, right? And he goes, well, that, you know, I spoke to Buck. He said that was misrepresented what he said on the radio. We didn't misrepresent anything.
He misrepresented it then.
By the way, Peter, Joe Mack just tweeted at us. He said, I'm an aisle usher at MetLife. No. 217,000 tickets sold for Taylor Swift over three nights. Merchandise sold out all three nights. It was the most successful financial event in MetLife's history since 2010.
All right. Yeah.
And that's including a Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right. That was just one night. So, yeah.
What do you think?
Springsteen's playing there three nights at the end of August. So.
It's not going to do Taylor Swift numbers.
Just because it just... How do I say it? I don't mean this as an insult, but I think the Springsteen fans will be a little bit more fiscally responsible.
Yeah, they don't need everything there.
Right. They've got a lot of
Springsteen t-shirts.
Yeah. If a father is bringing his son to a Springsteen show, he's 70, his son's 45.
If you look at ticket sales for the 3 days, and call the average ticket price, and I think I'm lowballing this, $100.
I think you are lowballing.
I think I'm big time. Guys, that lowball number would be $18 million in just revenue. I mean, just ticket revenue before a shirt gets sold. And again, I think I definitely lowballed that.
Holy crap.
It could easily be average as $200, and you're looking at $36 million in ticket sales.
If they had a stage the size of a football field, they're definitely sinking a lot of money into the show.
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure.
So there's probably a lot of overhead, but still. I'm sure she made
they're,
out.
They're
like
doing okay. They're going to do okay.
Let's go to the phones.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike in Mahwah. Mike.
Hey, how are you, gentlemen? Good afternoon, Michael, Peter, Don.
Hello.
Long-time listener since 47, and I have to tell you, Peter has been an awesome addition since 1977.
Thank you very much. Yeah, around 77 is when I came in. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Peter? What I've been listening that long, I want to tell you that Lawrence Taylor, how y'all Don, Mike, that was taped in the early afternoon. Correct me if I'm wrong, Don. Right?
Yes.
That was early afternoon. Whoa.
How y'all fun, Don?
I don't think it had anything to do with his sobriety.
Oh, Don.
You think? No, honestly, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with Don. Yeah, I think it was a wiring issue.
My fandom of Lawrence Taylor exits when he left the field, right? So I'm not gonna defend him as being a good guy. I'm being honest when I say I never got the impression that he was stoned or drunk or anything like that.
But it's
what else? Well, Mike's gone.
It's not off the table though. Let's just be fair.
Go to Kevin in Queens, Kevin.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call, as always.
What's up?
So listen, Mets, right? Here's the thing. By the time the Mets had gotten involved with the Correa thing, right?
Yeah.
Even before that, he was going to be signed by the Giants, so he was never really a true, like, he was never going to be like a realistic thing for the Mets. They just landed on the Mets' lap. And then Cohen goes, this was the missing piece. So before Correa, what was the missing piece? Effort never focused on it. You know what I mean? So, like, Correa lands on our lap. It doesn't work out. Fine. We move on. But we literally brought back this offensively that we did last. I know everybody harps on the 101 wins. But, Donovan, you were saying Boston series, right? Like, Spoelstra looking at the whole thing and not just game by game. Right? Watching every game last year, the Mets lost that wild card series in the same fashion that they lost a lot of key series last year, right? And then you double down and bring back the same team offensively. I think the only thing that's going to change for this team, if they make the playoffs, and I think that's a big if, and I've been saying this, and a lot of Mets fans have been saying it too, is the kids, right? They bring up that you got Vientos. Vientos has to play every day. I think
Well, you're breaking up a little bit. In defense of Epler, who is the offensive guy you wanted? Who was out there, Michael? Remind me. There was a free agent that they could have had and didn't bring him in.
Aaron Judge.
All right. That was never going to be realistic.
But I don't. You know what? I don't know if there was any kind of an agreement or whatever, but why wasn't that ever going to happen? After Correa, why wouldn't they have gone out after Judge? That's exactly what they needed.
If there was an agreement, then I'm disgusted with it because I don't know why I'd make that kind of agreement. My job is to better my team for my fan base, not worry about what the other team in town thinks. But there really wasn't. I don't know what else they could have done offensively. And
Conforto?
Yeah, I guess. But they had to bring back Nimmo, right?
Right. They were, now you talk about the Yankees having to bring back Judge. They had to bring back Nimmo.
They had to bring back Nimmo. But I don't know how many needle movers there would have been. And again, I don't really think it was their offense even last year that killed them. It was the fact that they didn't get any big-time pitching. So they went out and thought they corrected the problem by replacing DeGrom with Verlander to just get more games. And we'll see how that ends up working out at the end of the day. And then Quintana was supposed to roll out what was supposed to be a pretty good rotation. Carrasco hasn't been good, and he's been hurt, and we haven't seen Quintana yet. Michael, I don't think the offense is going to be a big problem. I just think this bullpen is going to be a major issue. And when are we going to see Quintana? I know he's throwing. He's close. Keep hearing he's close. But when is he going to be a part of this rotation?
I think probably middle of June.
All right, then we'll see.
That would be my guess.
How long is it going to take Senga to get to what we
thought he was going to do? Well, here's my big concern with Senga, Don. If you look at his numbers on normal rest, they're not good. If you look at his numbers on extra rest, which he has tonight, they're good. And that's why when you bring a Japanese pitcher in, you're taking a big gamble. They pitch once a week in Japan. Once a week, not once every 5 days.
Right.
And if you don't think that's a big deal, you're wrong. Some pitchers overcome it. Some pitchers take a long time to overcome it. But if you're used to your whole life pitching one game a week, they have one day off each week in Japan. And then they have six pitchers that pitch one game apiece.
Right.
And that's how it's done. And all of a sudden, you're being used on every fifth day. Then his numbers are not good.
Now, I think that can be an adjustment, but you're expected to win now.
I know.
So I'll be willing to take, for his career's sake and for his contract's sake, okay, well, we'll take the mulligan on 2023, but we need him. If Quintana's going to be hurt and Carrasco's going to be a disaster, which he has been when he's not been hurt, he was okay in the start that he came on after his injury, but let's see if he can pitch like he did last year. And you're still holding your breath for Scherzer and Verlander. Verlander wasn't good in Colorado. I know it's Colorado, Michael, but he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings. So more that you had to get out of your offense because you fell behind 6-0.
Well, Verlander had 5 starts in May, Don, and two of them were terrible.
Yeah.
You need better than that. Now, you're talking about their relievers, Don. Mm-hmm. So Anthony Greek broke this out for me. The Mets have allowed 75 home runs. That's the worst in the National League as a team. Met relievers have a 4.29 ERA. They've allowed 29 home runs, tied for the second most in baseball. And as for Holderman, the guy they traded to the Pirates in the Vogelback deal, 20 games, 2.33 ERA, 25 strikeouts in 19 and third innings, just five walks, 243 batting average. And the guy throws really hard. You think they could use him? So that's something that Epler's going to have to answer to as well. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Dan.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Michael, I have my own podcast, and I would love to have you on for an interview if you are open to it before I go into my point.
Well, we'll try to work it out. It's really hard. So many people have podcasts, and if I did every single one that they asked, it'd be really tough, Dan. I'll try.
No worries. And I wanted to go with my point. Aaron Judge had an unbelievable night last night, and he's been this good for a really long time. And I'm starting to think that he's the greatest Yankee since Mickey Mantle.
Well, that's a mouthful, Dan.
It is.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, but since Mickey Mantle. So that includes Jeter, Mariano, Bernie. O'Neill was a Yankee for 9 years. I mean, his 2 years, Don and Peter, might be as good as any 2 years, you know, last year and the beginning of this one, as any two that any Yankees put together. Right. And, but I think he's got to have a longer track record before you could say that.
But, you know, right? Let's not forget his rookie season with 50 home runs, too. So you got to include that in the hopper. If he stays healthy, Michael, he's got the potential to be the greatest modern Yankee of all time. I don't know why we do this in other sports where we'll just disregard anybody pre-Super Bowl. We won't include a lot of the basketball and hockey players back in the day, but we always include Ruth and Garrick. That was 100 years ago. If you go just to divisional play, which was 1969, that's post-Mantle.
Right.
The Mantle's last year was 69. I can't think of a better Yankee. And listen, Mo's a different – you can't compare him to Mo. Mo's a different
Jeter?
Animal.
Even
well,
Jeter.
On pace, I mean, listen, if he has the potential, Michael, but Jeter never put up these numbers.
Oh, I know, but I mean, he put up amazing numbers.
No, but not like this. I mean, listen, we all love Derek Jeter, and the other thing that's going
to
cost
him. All
right,
how about Alex?
No, because Alex doesn't count, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Well, because of the PEDs?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No, so you don't think that's a strike against? First of all, his numbers are comparable to A-Rod's right now. And then I think the strike that he takes for the PEDs knocks him a notch below. But I still think the potential could be better than A-Rod or Paul O'Neill or anybody. Now, the question we had before you left, Michael, and we could save this your answer when we come back, is he going to be invited to the Yankee table with no rings?
Well, don't you think Manning is at the table?
He's not at the table.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
All right, we'll come back. This is the table of Peter's wedding table?
It is my table. It's another table. Yeah, it's another table I like.
Brandon Cuddy of The Athletic announcing that Josh Donaldson just said the Yankees' plan is for him to play at Somerset tonight and then join the team for the Dodgers series. And it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees work him in.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I need your opinion on something, Peter, because you're a lot more harsh than I am.
I don't know if that's true. But
so the last caller leads by inviting me on his podcast, and I'm flattered when people want to do this. But like Howard Stern says, everybody has a podcast,
and everybody wants
people to come on as a guest on their podcast. And, you know, at the risk of being a jerk, you just can't do every single one of them or you wouldn't have a minute to yourself in your day. So how do you do it?
I'm sure
you're asked all the time.
I think you did the right thing. Everyone has a podcast. Like, what's the difference? It is so hard because you can sound like such a jerk. I guess the way to be
right,
nice
and I don't want to sound like a jerk. I know you don't care about that.
I guess the way to be, I'm going to ignore that and keep going. I guess the way to be, in theory, would be like, do everything everyone ever asks of you. But, like, that's not reasonable. And I think the guy could have had a better approach. Like, if he called up and had the best call ever that, like, got caught everyone, and then was like, hey, Michael, by the way, I have a podcast. Maybe you come on sometime. I think it could have been met with a better reaction. That being said, it puts you in such an awkward spot to ask live on the radio. And what do you do? I mean, so should you go on a podcast? If you run into someone on the street, you run into Steve on the street. He started a podcast 2 weeks ago. He went out and bought a microphone. He's an internet connection. And Steve and John have a podcast. They've put up 2 episodes. Not one person has listened. Should you, Michael K., go on that person's podcast? Take like a half hour to do an interview just because?
I mean, I would love to help everybody. You know, and we're kind of kidding on a square here. We'd all like to like help everybody because everybody's trying to get into the business and be successful. But again, you're asked hundreds, maybe sometimes thousands of times. So many people have podcasts, and at the risk of being a jerk, you do have to say no all the time, unfortunately.
No, here's the way it should be, okay? Everyone, there's no barrier of entry. You can literally just say, I have a podcast, and you have one. From Joe Rogan to Joe Gannoitney and Fisteris, you say, I have a podcast. Yes, it may be true you have a podcast. There is a barrier of entry, though. Make your podcast successful to where if you looked it up, you'd go, oh, wow, I should do that podcast. That has to be there. There has to be some barrier of entry, or I just don't understand. Like, these days, there's so much access. One thing that I get a lot is people will come up to me and literally just be like, hey, will you be my mentor? And I'm like, that's not how mentorship works. You don't get to just roll up in someone's DMs and ask to be your mentor just because there's a way to communicate with people now. I think there's a little bit of entitlement to that.
I think there's a difference between would you like to be a guest on my podcast or would you like to help me launch my podcast?
Right, right. Is it really a podcast yet? Do you have any listeners?
Right. If you've established something here and I can be a part, of course, I want to try to help out. And it doesn't have to be like massive listenership, but if you've established something, you've done the work.
Now, what I like, his question was really compelling. And if you have questions like that or statements like that, that is going to drive traffic. That judge is the best Yankee since Mickey Mantle. So we'll pick it up there. I think both of you guys, more so Don, I think you dismissed Jeter much too easily there. I mean, Jeter, I mean, there are people that put him on the Mount Rushmore of the Yankees. Wow. And when you look at the Yankee stars since 1903, being one of the four faces of the Yankees is absolutely unbelievable. So if you look at the numbers that he had in the postseason, I mean, he essentially played another full season in the postseason. It's going to be awfully hard to be better than Derek Jeter, who got every single vote but one to get into the Hall of Fame, and then to be better than Mariano Rivera. I mean, if you want to forget about Jeter and say, okay, Judge is a better offensive player, there's nobody that's ever been better than Mariano Rivera in the history of baseball at what he does, ever, ever. So how do we just dismiss Mariano Rivera since Mickey Mantle? I think Mariano Rivera is better than anybody.
Because I'm not going to include a guy, as great as he is, that, you know, probably participated in, like, between, like, 50 and 60 appearances out of 162? Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's why it's difficult for pitchers to be on there. That's why Whitey Ford can't seem to catch a break there, because, I mean, we're talking about everyday players. You impact the game a lot more. I know Mo closed better than anybody and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but... And he's probably on the Mount Rushmore because of that. But you're talking about impact, Michael. If you took if Judge continues to put up these numbers and never wins a World Series, I still think he's in the conversation as one of the greatest Yankees of all time by the sheer numbers. If Derek Jeter never won a World Series, Michael, he's not Derek Jeter. He's just not. We've had that conversation a million times. If he played his entire career in Kansas City, in Montreal / Washington, or Milwaukee, would he have the same impact? But he was a money player, won a ton, you know, 4 championships in 5 years, 5 championships altogether. So that puts him in the pantheon with the rest of the Yankees because of the championships. But did he impact the game? Did he put up numbers anywhere close to this? Again, it's unfair.
But Don, I think only 5 players in history have more hits than Derek Jeter. I mean, we're losing sight of that.
Right, but I'm just talking. Was there ever? This was even brought up in the documentary, Michael, and it got Alex in trouble. But did you ever game plan to stop Derek Jeter? It was death by a million paper cuts, and that still means something. We're talking about a guy that could go out there and maybe have multiple, like 4 or 5, 50-plus home run seasons. Monster statistics. This is not going to be the only MVP he ever wins if he stays healthy. Jeter was a fabulous player and a money player, Michael, but as far as impacting the game, he was a good defender. He caught what he was supposed to catch, but was he otherworldly the way Judge seems to be in the outfield?
Well,
I don't want to sit here and denigrate Derek Jeter. He's a god. Judge, I get it.
But Judge has never won a Gold Glove. Jeter won two of them.
He'll get.
Listen, we started the show saying how I think Judge is best player in baseball, but I agree with you, Don. If he puts 5 years up like he's done, you know, like last year and his first year in the league, then he's in the discussion. Yeah. But since Mickey Mantle, there have been a lot of great players, man.
Not a lot.
A lot of great players.
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
Yeah. A lot.
Not a lot?
Bernie Williams, not a great player?
No, he's not. Come on. He's not in Judge's category. Not even close.
Well, but, okay, Mariano and Jeter.
Jeter is.
All right, that's two. He blows by Donnie baseball. Sorry. Now, again, he's got to put it together. I get it. It's a very brief career, but, you know, so was Donnie's. Again, I don't want to be the guy ripping former Yankees, but like we're talking since 1970. Name them: Mo, Jeter. Outside of that, who's in the conversation with Judge? If we're going to discount A-Rod because of the PEDs, who else is close? I mean, I love Nettles. He was an A-plus defender. He was a heck of a home run hitter. He's not Judge.
All right. Are we counting
Bernie
Reggie?
Williams is not Judge. Paul O'Neill is not Judge.
Are we counting Reggie? Are we counting Thurman Munson?
They're not.
I mean, are we counting Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson, no. One of the great players of all time.
He was here for 5 years, Michael. He didn't put up these kind of numbers, and he was not. He was not a great defender by any stretch of the imagination. Some might even call him lazy. I'm sure Billy Martin would have. Now you look at it again. Different era. I get it, but we're starting to get back to the old days as far as like home runs are concerned. In the 5 years that he was a Yankee, only twice did he drive in more than 100 runs? Home run totals, 77-32, 78-27, 79-29. And the 1980 was probably his best year, 41 home runs, 111 RBIs. That led the league. That's not Judge.
I think Judge is phenomenal. And I think Judge, if he continues on this arc, is going to go to the Hall of Fame. But there have been three good years.
Right. But at any time, since 1970, how many times have you said, Michael Kay, who's watched all of, probably every game, because you were what, like you were watching games on PIX 11 at the age of nine,
mm-hmm.
Did you say that player is the best player in baseball?
I have not said that, but right. I've said that about Judge last year and this year. You got to give me more.
Oh, again, nobody is stating the claim now. We're just saying he's on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
okay, if we frame it that way, but at this point to say he's the best player since Mantle. I think Jeter's the best player.
He's in that conversation. Listen, as great as Derek was, did you ever say that's the best player in baseball?
But you know what? Now that his career is over, you could actually make the argument he's the best shortstop in the history of baseball.
And maybe when it's all said and done, Judge, it's tough because there's three outfielders compared to just one shortstop on the team. But he might be in that conversation. I mean, it is.
Let's go to Dick.
All right, go ahead.
Let's go to Dave in Westchester. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Wow. Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't think you'll be doing pretty good after you hear me. 2012, Mariano Rivera did not play one baseball game. This is when everybody thought he was the most important player of the team. The Yankees, not only did they make the playoffs, they won the first round. The second round, Jeter broke his ankle in the 10th inning. They got swept 0-4. I don't care. I hope you don't cut me off, please. There is no way in the history of anybody's mind, if you think that, I don't care if Judge hits 800 home runs every single year, he will never be Derek. Derek Jeter is one of the best WAR players to ever be a Yankee. Not even close. What? If I ask you, there's a guy on third base. It's game seven of the World Series. Who do you want up, Derek Jeter or Aaron Judge? If you say Aaron Judge, you shouldn't even be on the air.
Dave,
you should be on the air.
Dave, How can you start the argument with no matter what Judge does, he cannot compete with what Jeter did?
Peters won and runs. Run scored number one postseason.
But you, but you're talking about an entire career. You're
number two, double.
You're talking
number one.
Okay,
so Judge, I you don't know. You have no idea. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if it's Brian, you're young. I'm going.
What do you mean? How young am I? I'm 43. I lived through Jeter's entire career. He's an all-time great player. But with Judge's skill set, how can you just sit here and say no matter what he does? But you can't say that, Dave. It's irrational. It's completely irrational.
What if Judge played on those Yankee teams? You don't think he'd have monster numbers?
Okay. Let me ask you a question. All right. You might have said, yes, maybe Jeter was never the best player in the league. Maybe you might have said that. In the postseason? Absolutely. You don't understand Yankee fans. We don't care about the regular season. It means nothing to us. Zero. Nothing. Not a damn thing.
You don't give a damn about the rate. Wow.
Nothing to us. That's exactly what that's not to just me.
That's not to be proud of, though, by the way.
Yeah, that's anybody.
It's
a silly, that's a silly measurement also. You don't give a damn. By the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeter was also on a pretty good team on those during those four World Series, no?
Of course. Well, yeah.
Now Dave, this is Michael now talking. So he hung up.
No. He's a hack-a-doodle-doo.
Well, I just want to say, you know, nothing matters but the postseason. So the 62 home run year last year where he won the MVP, that didn't matter? That didn't happen? That didn't happen? They won 99 games. It didn't happen? That's ridiculous. You lose a lot of credibility when you say that. That didn't happen. We don't care about anything but that. Well, maybe that's the issue. And I'm supporting you. I think that Jeter is better. Judge has to put up a lot more years of being Judge to even be in the same conversation. And rings have to matter, too. Mickey had rings. Whitey had rings. Yogi had rings.
But they make it seem like if Judge was a member of the Yankees from 1996 to 2012, that he wouldn't have a bunch of rings and have an opportunity to be monstrous. Now, he hasn't been great in the postseason early on here. That doesn't mean you extrapolate 10 years from now that it's not going to change. And it's a different world now. One wild card game to determine whether you go. As opposed to if you settle for the wild card, which the Yankees rarely did back in the dynasty years, you at least got a best of five.
Well, let's take a brief time out. This certainly got people's juices flowing. 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
From Joe Rogan to Joe Gnoitny and Fisteris, you say I have a podcast. Yes, it may be true you have a podcast. There is a barrier of entry, though. Make your podcast successful to where if you looked it up, you'd go, oh, wow, I should do that podcast. That has to be there. There has to be some barrier of entry. Or I just don't understand. Like, these days, there's so much access. One thing that I get a lot is people will come up to me and literally just be like, hey, will you be my mentor? And I'm like, that's not how mentorship works.
Wow, so Peter got the point God today. Beautiful. Congratulations, Peter.
Congratulations, Peter, on, you know, having the worst point God point.
You know,
somebody had to be last, so it's you. I'm glad.
Why? I don't like you lashing out at me.
No,
I didn't,
it's not your fault.
I didn't do anything to earn the point, God. And
no, but I'm still congratulating
you. Certainly didn't.
You.
Do you have a point in your mind, though, that you feel was strong?
I mean, Michael just declared Judge. I'm saying that Judge is better than Jeter. There's a lot of great points. I honestly remembered you said that.
The Judge-Jeter thing is very strong. I think it may have come up late in the voting for you. There's an editing timeline that's required here, too.
When you're covering a hockey game and they give you give the three stars and there's 10 minutes left in the third period, I crumple up, I throw it away. I was like, come on, what are you doing? I'm supposed to tell you who's the player of the game and there's still 10 minutes left to play in a 2-2 tie?
That's how you feel about today.
Right in the face, I crumple it up.
Wow.
Tell them to get the
step. Don't fight, guys. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, can we?
Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm a long time listener to the show. And I would like to quickly come in with a couple of points of views. I think that, Don, I completely agree with you. Judge is clearly better than Derek Jeter. He's a more talented player. I will say this, though. Judge hit for the first time in his career last season, for the first time, over 290. He never hit in his career over 290. Last season was the first time, but he is more gifted. He is more talented. He's more well-rounded. Judge is not the best player in the major leagues, in my point of view. I truly think my boy from the Angels, I forgot his name just now, just blank.
Trout?
Trout or Otani?
No, the pitch. Otani. Otani okay. is the unicorn. Otani got to be given a different award instead of called the MVP. He's like Jokic for the Denver Nuggets. He's a different breed right now. And the respect has to be given.
Yeah, but once again, Calvin, I'll say what I said earlier. Everybody wants to say, you know, he pitches and he hits. His WAR combined last year did not beat Judge's WAR just as a position player. So how's he better? The whole sport is predicated on wins above replacement. And Judge is better than when you add up the wins above replacement for pitching and hitting for Otani. I understand Otani is the shiny new toy. Nobody's done this. Nobody will ever do it again. And it makes him phenomenal. And it makes him a phenomenon. But to say that he's the best player in baseball, is a better hitter than Judge? No. So he pitches. He makes 30 starts a year. Judge plays right field 157 times. Otani never takes the field. He's a DH. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider here. And I'm not the thing that I don't like about this argument, guys, is that when you defend Judge, it looks like you're dissing Otani. I'm not. I'd love to have Otani on my team if I owned a team. But to say that just hands down, the voters didn't think so, and there was a lot of people that put pressure that Otani should be the MVP, a lot of important people in the game. And you know what? The voters who really put a lot of time and effort into voting for the MVP hands down gave it to Judge because he deserved it. I mean, when I look at who could be better, a better player than Judge, I look at guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. I look at guys like Julio Rodriguez, guys that play every single day and play a position. And I'm not denigrating being a DH. I'm not. It's a position. But when we're going to play the who's best game, you have to put all these other things into the stew.
I get it, but you're also throwing into a stew a pitcher. So I agree. It's a different argument because that's why the MVP and best players sometimes aren't the same person.
Right.
Because maybe you can be impactful to a championship run, but there could be a better player. But he's on a bad team or – there's a lot of things to go into it. I'm not even going to pretend to understand or comprehend what WAR actually means, but, I mean, the guy's an excellent pitcher and an excellent hitter. Yeah, so you could talk about how great a defender Judge is, but what's his earned run average? But still, the whole argument with Jeter is, you know, Jeter was a winner. Well, would you take Eli Manning over Peyton Manning? Of course you wouldn't. But in a big spot on a last game-winning drive in a Super Bowl, I think a lot of people would pick Eli over Peyton. So sometimes
the
guy's got
a winner.
You know, there's a winner attitude that goes into it, and the caller's right. Maybe I'd rather have Jeter up in a big spot than Judge. But does that make Jeter the better overall player? I guess to him, because he only watches in the postseason or only cares about the postseason. I feel sorry for that guy because you can't sit there for over 162 games or however many the Judge plays and enjoy the guy. You can't care until October. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I was sitting back in the booth last night. Right after he made that catch in right field, then we went to a commercial, and I was just shaking my head how lucky I am to see this guy play all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't get that feeling a lot about players. I am so lucky to see this guy play in person all the time. He is that great, Don.
Yeah. And apparently, unless he wins a ring, he's Steve Balboni.
You know what we have coming up, don't you?
Oh, well, I think it's going to be the best ENN we've had since Friday.
Really?
No, well, I mean, come on. That's not even fair.
I didn't say it was Friday. It could have been a Friday 3 years ago.
God, okay. Because Anthony did it on Friday, so I don't want you burying my guy.
Well, listen, I think Anthony's better.
Then I am at ENN already.
Yeah, Anthony and Andrew.
So really,
wow. I will not co-sign that.
So for the record, anyone but me is right. What you...
Yeah, but you work it out. It's just, I'm not even going to play. No, I love you, and I can't wait for six.
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
It was getting off the rail. It wasn't fun anymore.
You know,
it wasn't fun anymore.
No, so you had to step away. I appreciate you stepping back.
See, I would have continued it. I would have carried it on.
But
anyway,
ENN's
coming up in just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
That's evening nightly news to those new to the show.
That's right. Welcome.
We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.